And on to Stephen Fancola now, the chief executive of EOH. And we're all frustrated to death by corruption and the impact it's had on the performance and sustainability of so many state-owned enterprises, particularly Eskom, as it goes through this tiresome bout of load shedding, which saps our collective energy. It's 23 hours since the Public Enterprises Minister, Pravin Gordhan, promised an upgrade from level 4 to level 3, and it, as far as I can tell, hasn't happened yet. But certainly broken, corrupted businesses of any kind and size do take a long time to sort out. And you only have to ask Stephen Fancola, Chief Executive of EOH, just how hard it is. You've been in place now 2.5, nearly 3 years, I think, Stephen. And finally, you've seen operating profits swing from a big loss, 1.3 billion rand last year, to a small profit of 147 million this year. But boy, it's been a painstaking process, hasn't it?
Yeah, they say life's a journey, not a destination, and for sure it's been a while getting there, but I just think to be able to turn from such a big loss to a profit just in the last 12 months is just an amazing effort. It certainly, I didn't expect it this soon. But more importantly, Bruce, I think the real issue for me is that we generated enough cash flow, nearly 700 million from operations, which allowed us for the first time to pay our operating costs, but our interest, our capex, and our tax, with some left over to spare. So that, for me, was the biggest milestone.
Yeah, and I mean, is it a sustainable milestone? Did you have a couple of wins during the year that don't get repeated, and therefore you dip back into the red again, or is this part of a trend?
No, I think it's part of a trend. I mean, the biggest issue we had in 2019, as soon as our customers realized there were problems, when they were rolling contracts, they'd rolled in for a year. And so when we did our budgets for this year, or for the 2021 year, you know, we had about a 45% forward load. What's happened is, as customers have felt that we are on the right path, we've done the right thing, they've started rolling those for 2, 3, 4, and 5 years, and you can see that slide in the presentation. So when we did our budget this year, we ended up with a forward load of like over 55%, which just makes the year easier because you don't have to find that money. It's already happening in contracts. And we're seeing more and more of that, customers now happy to give us longer-term contracts, and that's really important for a business like ours.
And that's very welcome, because also you're a smaller business. You are a leaner business. When you moved in there, I think there were 272 different legal entities. You've whittled those down, or slashed those down, by nearly half to 145. You've also reduced your portfolio. You've almost halved your property portfolio as well. And that strikes me as being absolutely integral to choosing the bits of the business that do work together and under the umbrella of EOH, and allowing everything else that doesn't to go.
No, you're exactly right, Bruce. Our biggest issue is that before, I think previous management were just chasing revenue at all costs. So we had a number of contracts that, although it looked good on the revenue line, were just eating cash. And as I say, you know, profit is vanity, but cash is reality. The most important thing is that we've now got real business that makes real money. We get real cash in. And, you know, that's allowed us, as I said in the presentation, for the first time in 3 years, my overdraft of 400 million is now zero. We haven't had that before, and that's just because treasury and debtors and working capital are now at proper levels, well managed. We're not wasting any money anymore. And we've got a really efficient quality of earnings that makes the business much easier to run.
And I mean, an EOH was a very big and complex and messy business, and there were lots of dark cupboards and, you know, all sorts of cobwebs with nasties hidden away in them. It was hard enough to turn around. I mean, could you imagine the prospect of turning around a state-owned enterprise of some description, or a government department that has been severely corrupted over an extended period of time? I wonder whether or not you've got empathy for some people within the public sector who are trying to drive turnarounds of their own.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've been through it. I've got absolutely empathy. But I think the reality is, if you trust the process, you trust what you're doing, you get the right people in, it is possible. It's definitely possible. As you know, as I said in my presentation, the famous saying by Nelson Mandela, it seems impossible until it's done, but you have to believe in what you're doing, you have to believe in the strategy, and you just have to move forward. And I think all these things are possible if you really want them to be possible. They've got the, you know, some issues of politics. We had that, I suppose, with people throwing stones at us and not wanting us to come out. But if you stick to your guns, these things are definitely possible.
Talk to me about spending and your customers' interest in spending. And a lot of CEOs I talk to say there's a lots of deferral, there's lots of postponement, there's lots of kicking the can down the road. I'm going to chat to Isaac Mhlanga at Alexander Forbes in just a bit, you know, talking about how important it is for companies to start investing and start spending in this economy. Otherwise, you know, the wheels probably do come off. What's your experience? Are you seeing clients holding off on expenditure, important expenditure?
Yeah, so there's sort of two camps. There's almost like a two-speed economy at the moment. The large businesses, the real multinationals, the ones that are in more countries that are huge, they are tending to hold back on their expenditure. They, you know, used to be have more cash, and they used to just upgrade whenever they needed to. They being much more circumspect. Interestingly, what we're seeing in the sort of large and mid caps, you know, that one level down, is they're realizing that their IT is actually an asset, not a must-have, in that it used to be for email, to do debtors and creditors, manage your year-end accounts. They're realizing actually they need to do something about it to make it work for them. And we're seeing a lot more of the outsourcing, the move to the cloud, let's upgrade it, let's make it a real asset, get the data out, get the information by our customers. So we're seeing a lot more of this outsourcing or everything as a service in that category. And that's really where we want to play, because that's where our strength lies. And that, for me, is a very exciting opportunity that's coming at us quite fast because of this work from anywhere, everything as a service. And this is what you're going to have to capture. And so I'm very happy we returned to profitability now, because we've got cash to actually invest in, following that trend.
Stephen Van Coller, Chief Executive at EOH. If nothing else, proof that persistence pays, and it is possible to turn severely damaged entities around with the right level of commitment, dedication, and no-nonsense approach to doing it.